Well, last week, we jumped into the pool of abounding love for one another. What a refreshing jump that was. Abounding love is a love that is real. It's not superficial or phony. It's a love that is self-sacrificial. Not self-centered. It is an active love that penetrates deep into the life of another person, and it doesn't quit. Today we want to look at the twin sister of abounding love, and that is humility. Abounding love and humility are married together. Where one goes, the other goes. If you dissolve one, you eliminate the other. Abounding love and humility are that close. They are one. You cannot ignore humility and loving one another. The need for humility is well spoken of in David Bobb's book on humility. He writes, "The virtue of humility is occasionally praised in some faraway tribe, remote religious order, or a political rural birthplace. The reality of our fame-addicted and power-hungry existence means that arrogance is rewarded and humility is ignored. Ego trips are occasion for everyday media attention, cocksure, disdainful, and narcissistic displays of arrogance. They abound in every aspect of life, while aspects of humility go unnoticed and unrewarded." Jesus said, "If you follow me, first you must deny yourself." That's humility. That's a good definition of humility. It is self-denial. But we all know that self dies very slowly, and it dies painfully. Let's pray. Father, every time we come into your word, it's a time not to satisfy our curiosities. It is to change our lives. So I pray that you would enhance, you would enrich our time this morning in the precious Word of God that is living, it is active, it is relevant for everyone here this morning, every one of us. So I pray that you would open up the truths of your Word and allow us to respond the way you want us to respond. Self-denial, such a crucial issue in the church today. So I pray that you'll give us the grace to preach it well and to receive it well and even more to live it well. In Jesus' name, amen. Humility isn't humiliation. A humble person is strong to serve other people. A humiliated person is weak. They're helpless to serve. A humble person feels empowered and significant. A humiliated person feels powerless and insignificant. Humility builds up. Humiliation tears down. Honestly, humility isn't thinking less about ourselves. It is simply thinking about ourselves less. You may have heard of the name of Chuck Swindoll. He wrote this: "If I were to boil down all the characteristics of greatness to one word, it would be humility." It's well said. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Philippians 2 is all about humility and unselfish living. It is a classic passage to meditate on, like when you have nothing else to do. You take out these verses and you simply meditate, chew on them, asking the Spirit of God, what does that mean to my life today? Follow along as I read verses 3 and 4, Philippians 2. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." You see in those verses the ingredients of humility. There is a strong negative followed by several positives. Here's the negative: do nothing out of selfish ambition or empty conceit. Well, that's pretty direct. In your face, nothing from a motive of selfishness or empty conceit. Selfishness is all about I, me, my, mine, myself. It's a me first mindset. You see it in children. The one that will push and elbow and shove their way to the front of the line so that they can be first. You see that mindset in adults who accelerate past a whole line of cars so that they can cut in at the last moment to hit the exit. Me first. Me first lies at the root of many family arguments. It's why families constantly arguing together. And it's also the reason why business associates can't work well together. It's that mindset that it's all about me and what I want, what I prefer. You see, when you're selfish, you live in a world bound on the north, east, south, and west by yourself. And you really come to the conclusion that you are really, really important. Reminds me of what the mother whale said to her baby about self-importance. "When you get to the top and start to blow, that's when you get harpooned." Good words. Empty conceit. It's personal. It's empty vanity. Literally, the word is empty glory. The self-promotion of yourself, it's always looking for ways to advance and promote itself in front of others, always feeling like they are better than anybody else, always advancing above other people. Remember the story of the two disciples in Mark chapter 10? Two disciples, James and John, they were brothers, asked Jesus for permission to sit to his left and to his right when he establishes his millennial kingdom here on the earth. They were the best seats, the seats of greatness, next to King Jesus. Left or right, either one, doesn't matter, just sit next to him. It'd be like sitting next to President Bush at a Ranger game. People would notice you. They would admire you. Maybe show you some favor. In their mind, you must be someone special to sit next to a president. Well, that was true of James and John. You see, that's empty conceit, always jockeying for a better position over others so they can be seen, so they can be acknowledged as one of the great ones. You know what is a good check to selfishness and empty conceit? To ask yourself the question, what's your motive? What's your motive? Why did you say that? Why did you say it that way? Why did you respond the way that you did? Why did you post that on Facebook? What's behind it? Why did you do that? What is your motive? It's a guard against selfishness and empty conceit. Now that's the negative. Here's the positive. In humility, you see, that's the place to start. You consider others more important than yourselves. Importance isn't focusing on who others are or what they do in contrast to yourself. You look at someone else and you say, they make more money than I do. Surely they are more important than I am. You may look at another person and say, well, they own their own company. I work for another company. Surely they're more important than I am. That person shoots 70s when they play golf. I shoot 70 after 9 holes. Surely they're more important than I am. Importance is focusing on whether you consider that other person important or worthy of your help and encouragement. That's the idea. It's not, are they worthy? But will you count them as worthy of needing your help and assistance and encouragement? For example, will you revel in someone else's success by affirming them? We love it when we succeed. And we appreciate the affirmation that others may give us. But when you see someone else succeeding, do you appreciate it? Do you tell them, well done? Will you welcome guests who are visiting here for maybe the first time? Or will you reach out to those who have a tendency to stand or sit alone by themselves on a regular basis? Will you reach out? Will you take the time to respect and honor those who are much older than you or quite younger than you and their preferences in life? Will you respect them, even though they're older or younger? Will you take the time to just let another person talk? And you don't say anything. You just listen intently as though they are the most important person on the planet, because at that time, they really are. I've discovered in relationships that it's much more important to listen well than it is to talk. To listen with our heart, to give full attention, to read between the lines, maybe to read a facial expression, to listen well to an individual as they are sharing what's going on in their life. You see, that's considering others is more important than yourself. But there's another positive. Look what Paul says. Each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's saying you take care of your own affairs, but you open up and you leave room in your life for the interests of others. Think of your life as a square. And in that square is your life. All of your interests, your desires, your pleasures, your activities, your commitments, your goals, it's all there. When you look after the interest of others, you are simply moving things around in your life so that there is space, there is room for the interests of others. And you allow the freedom to talk about their interests. And if you don't understand their interests, you come back and say, you know, that's interesting. Tell me some more. Tell me some more. Help me out so that I can understand what's important to you. It's making room for other people in your life. I appreciate the paraphrase of the Message paraphrase. It says, don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Verses 5 through 8, you have the prime example of humility. There is no better example than the life of the Lord Jesus. This is classic. Look what it says, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's talking about a mindset, an attitude. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself even to die a certain kind of death, death on a cross. That's it. That's the Lord Jesus. That is him in his beauty. That is him in his glory. Willing to give up all that he enjoyed and held to himself in the glory of heaven. And then he put it all aside to come to this depraved, sin-sick planet and give his life as a ransom for you and for me. It's just incredible. Just incredible that he would do something like that for us. That's Jesus. That's the Son of God. Giving up everything and even himself, because he had a greater interest in us and our need than he had for himself. That's the Lord Jesus. You'll see one final thing about him. Because of his humility, God exalted him. God is always pleased to exalt those who are humble. We don't know how, we don't know when, it's just the promise of Scripture that God exalts humble people for their humility. He exalted the Lord Jesus, and he has promised that he will exalt us as well. You see, that's humility. Self-denial. Unselfish living. Considering others as more important than yourself. Taking an interest in their interests. It's giving yourself away. Maybe to give some time to another person who really needs you. Or maybe it's to give a visit of mercy to someone who cannot get around like they used to. Or they're having to live in a convalescent home for the rest of their life. And you're willing to give a little bit of time just to visit. Or maybe it's to give a word of appreciation to those who lead this church so very, very well. Or maybe it's to give a word of compassion to somebody who is really grieving. It's like the bottom has fallen out of their life. They have hit rock bottom and they're in grief because of their loss. So you step alongside and into their life and give them a word of compassion. Or maybe it's to give a commitment of friendship to someone who's been divorced and they're living alone. Or maybe it is to give some money to someone who is out of work. Oh, they're looking diligently to find the work, but they just need some financial help. And you're willing to give up yourself to give them some money. Or maybe it's to give your help in a ministry in this church. Humility. Giving yourself up. Self-denial. So that you might abound in your love for one another. I have the joy of occasionally traveling to Africa. And I am always amazed and impressed with the way African Christians will never, never allow me to carry my own bags. I step out of the airport or out of a building, and it's like my African host or hostess is right there grabbing my bags. They don't even say anything. Just want the honor, the privilege of carrying my bags. And they do it with such humility and with such a deep respect and honor just to carry my bags. It's like I'm honoring them by letting them carry my bag. I was in Uganda a couple weeks ago and was walking out of a building to another building, and as I went out the door of the first building, one of the African hostesses saw me carrying my cup of tea. You know, a very nice porcelain cup and a porcelain saucer. And before I hit the inside door, before going outside, she said, "Here, I'll carry that." And I said, no, it's just a cup of tea. Before I could finish, she had already grabbed it. She wanted to carry my cup of tea and the saucer. They value serving because they love people. Whose bag will you carry? Let's pray. Father, we're challenged again by the life and the example of the Lord Jesus. As always, He is the best model we could ever, ever follow. Lord of the universe, mighty God, ultimate servant, our Redeemer and our friend, coming to redeem those who are lost in their sins and trespasses. We were the epitome of depravity, and that never stopped Him from coming to die for us. Because He loved us. May that hit home to our lives on a daily basis. May we move more into His life and to His mindset of self-denial, unselfish living, willing to carry the bag of someone else. In the name of the Lord Jesus and for His glory, amen.